Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day.
It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the big story of the day. Today, David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, he spoke with the media, and he was asked a line of questions, and it eventually got to him explaining what the quarterback situation would be if Tyrod and when Tyrod Taylor becomes healthy and is ready to play. This is what his response is.
When Tyrod comes back and he's healthy, he's our starting quarterback. He gives us the best chance to win. I mean, he's our starting quarterback. He was our starting quarterback when he went down, doing an excellent job. And when he comes back, he'll still be our starting quarterback.
All right, so that was like, all right, bam. All right, that's cool. All right, bam. All right, we got an understanding. Except for about 2 hours prior to that, right here on Sports Radio 610 on Payne and Pendergast, you missed it, 7:30 is when it was. You use that Odyssey app to check it out. The general manager, Nick Caserio, was on, and he was asked the same question and had a very, very different response. This was him earlier today.
Making progress. It's really day-to-day, quite frankly. And, you know, when Tyrod is ready to go, whenever that is, then we'll assess the situation and we'll ultimately make the decision that we feel is best for our team. Going into, you know, before he was hurt or up until the point that he was hurt, Tyrod had played well. You know, he played really well, actually. So things change. So, but again, we'll take it one day at a time, and then we'll make the decision that we feel is best, and we're not going to predetermine anything, not do anything until we get in that position.
All right, so you heard from both the GM and the head coach on what would happen when Tyrod Taylor is healthy, and they had two different thoughts. Clint, where do you go? Whose camp are you in? Are you in Camp Caserio or Camp Culley?
Yeah, look, I got to ride with Nick Caserio on this one right here. I think this cannot be a predetermined decision of whether you play Tyrod Taylor or you play Davis Mills. I think it's fluid at the very least. I think it's a very fluid situation. I think if you really fairly evaluate what the quarterback play this season, there's no doubt about it that I think Tyrod Taylor brings a little bit more stability to the position. Obviously, I think it's a lot more stability, if you will. But when you talk about evaluating every game this year, I think it's fair to say that Davis Mills has played the quarterback position at a higher level versus a better opponent. And so there's a conversation here to be had, and it shouldn't be predetermined that Tyrod Taylor's the guy. It shouldn't be predetermined that, quote-unquote, Tyrod Taylor gives you the best chance to win games. Now, if Davis Mills goes out there and messes a bet against the Colts, then I think the conversation changes. But after last week's performance against the New England Patriots, I think Davis Mills, he earned the right to have the conversation of, okay, what do you do when Tyrod Taylor comes back versus, it's predetermined Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback for this football team. I think there's a good conversation there to be had. I would side with Nick Caserio. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm betting man, I think David Culley here probably put the cart before the horse and wishes he wouldn't have just so confidently predetermined that Tyrod Taylor, when he does come back, is going to be the guy.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm with Nick Caserio as well, and I believe Nick Caserio will win out if that is a decision. It's clear that they haven't had very many discussions about it. If they're going to be speaking to the media within a couple of hours from each other, and they have that different of a thought process in this. But I'm with it anyway, because I think at some point, man, you're getting close at 1-4 to the point of, is this about winning as many games as you can win, or is this about developing young players over winning? And I'm not saying winning doesn't matter anything, but at some point at 1-4, who knows what happens on the road with the coach? Yeah. I think most would bet you'd lose your 1-5. If you're not looking like you did against Buffalo, you may be at a point of developing young guys over best chance to win.
I agree. If Davis Mills can quarterback this football team to the level, let me do this way. If this team doesn't sink to the level of what we saw against Buffalo with Davis Mills at the quarterback position, then it just changes the conversation around who the starter should be, right? If Davis Mills continues to trend in the direction that he started trending in last week with an unbelievable game against New England, then I think you've got to strongly consider leaving the kid in there and not only attempting to win games, but obviously developing him and seeing how quickly.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, this better be good. This better be good, Tyler Milner. You have breaking news. What do you got?
Yes, sir. The Houston Texans announced that they have officially designated rookie wide receiver Nico Collins to return from the injured reserve. So Nico is back.
How about that? That's good. That's good breaking news. Nico Collins, arguably the most exciting young player that I think Texans fans, hell, I know I do, want to see and want to see grow, him being back. And it looks like now the Texans have, boy, they're swimming in receivers now. I mean, they've been low on receivers all year. I mean, we got Danny Amendola's at practice. Nico's at practice. I mean, everybody. Chris Moore is on the team now. I mean, they got seven wide receivers now on this team. I don't even know what that looks like. So, Nico Collins back with the roster. And could play Sunday. Your thoughts on that when you hear that?
Been looking forward to it, man. I mean, this is a guy that I thought had an unbelievable camp. You know, there's not a guy that when he first came in, you know, we were talking 6'4", big body, 215 plus. You know, according to somebody's stats out there, he was a 4'4 guy. And, you know, you expect to see this big blazer. And in reality, what we saw was a really polished route runner. An unbelievably strong hands catcher, and a guy that was available throughout training camp, busting at all camp, and appeared to be getting some chemistry with Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills, regardless of who's at quarterback. So this is a guy that I'm really, really excited about seeing him. He does possess that size that gives you maybe an opportunity in the red zone to throw some of the 50-50 balls, maybe have a physical one-on-one matchup that you could win, at least see what the young guy can do. I'm excited about Nico Collins coming back and potentially being on the field this week against the Colts.
I am as well. So if you just missed that, the breaking news, Nico Collins, the third round rookie wide receiver who's been out with the shoulder injury, he is back, reinstated back to the roster and could play on Sunday.
Big 3-3, number two.
Bouncing ball to the right side. Altuve's got it. The throw to first. For a fifth consecutive season, the Houston Astros are headed to the American League Championship Series. Something done by only two franchises in Major League history, it is five consecutive trips to baseball's Final Four.
Absolutely unbelievable. As our guy TK said, the golden era is continuing of Astros baseball. And Clint, Game one, we've got the time. It is Friday, 7:07, first pitch right here in Houston at Minute Maid Park, and we will be out there.
I'm so excited!
2 o'clock, doing the show, doing, what'd you say, pregame with us?
Yeah, come through and pregame with us, man. This is, we got a cool little atmosphere wherever we're at, whether we're at Kirby Ice House or we're at a way out Bail Bonds across the street from Minute Maid, wherever we're at.
We will be at a way out Bail Bonds right there across the street from Minute Maid.
Yeah, wherever we're at, you just all you need to know is find a location. We'll drop you a pin and you can come hang out with us, and we always have a good time.
We'll be out there, corner of Crawford and Congress. Come check us out. As always, pregame with us. We're going to have a lot of fun Friday, 7:07. And one thing we do know Friday, game one, you'd love to have your number one starter, your best starter, your ace start. Lance McCullers wasn't going to start that because he started game four, but we'll see if he actually starts at all in this series, because his health is up in the air. Dusty Baker, the manager, after they closed out the White Sox, spoke to why he took McCullers out and where he is now.
We had to pull him because, you know, he felt some discomfort in his forearm. You know, we certainly got to take care of him. We can't take any chances of injury. And I only pulled him because he was hurt. And there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. And that's why, you know, that's why we pulled him.
All right. That's why I pulled him, right arm, forearm tightness. His status has been reported from Chandler Rome. Is cloudy right now for the American League Championship Series. And Clint, that would be a tough blow if Lance McCullers. We've been talking about in this series, he's had defining moments, and he was in it. He was showing he was an ace, out-dueled Carlos Rodon yesterday. And I think 73 pitches after four, he would have gotten at least to the sixth, and they weren't hitting him very, very hard, except for Gavin Sheets. That'll be a real concern for the Astros leading into this series.
Oh, yeah, it's a major concern, obviously. I mean, you'd hope that he'd be able to come back and pitch in maybe the second game in this series right here, so he could then come back and help you in seven if you needed it. So, yeah, it's a big-time concern, Joe. And it's a big-time concern regardless of him, whether he pitches, you know, game two or whenever he can pitch in the next series. Just if he can pitch or not is a major concern. So, yeah, this is something that we'll keep you updated on. And I hope this is just one of Dusty's "he's sore" kind of comments and not a legit injury.
Mm. I don't know.
Sounded a little different, didn't it?
You'd hope it is. Yeah. And as Tyler said, it's a good thing that it wasn't for him because he really wanted to pitch Yimmy. That wasn't the reason why he pulled him out. By the way, it looks like Yimmy is playing the role of Abraham Toro this year for Dusty.
Yeah.
He loves him some Yimmy like he did Abraham Toro. That is clearly.
I'm just thankful for Yimmy yesterday. I'm thankful for the yesterday, Yimmy.
Clint Calder again.
Yeah. I couldn't help it, man.
Sad.
Sorry.
And Lauren, if you're listening and you just dropped in the middle of that, it is just an analogy that we're using. Clint is actually not calling any other women. It is an analogy that we're using. He thinks that Yimmy is like, you know, a...
She knows.
Okay. She knows.
She knows.
So does Carlos.
Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right. All Texans fans ought to have some sweats and nightmares in their minds because ahead of the Colts game, the Colts announced that they are activating a wide receiver of their own. T.Y. Hilton is going to return to practice this week.
Oh, God!
He remains on IR right now, but this is a good sign for him moving forward. Wouldn't it be the damnedest thing if he returned just for the Texans? It's like, oh, my neck hurt. No. I said, is that the Texans on the schedule? Oh, hell no. Let me get my ass out here. I'm good, coach.
Yeah, look, I mean, T.Y. Hilton has absolutely killed the Texans in the past. You know, hopefully he's on the backside of this thing and he's no longer a threat. But I don't mean on the backside of this injury. I mean on the backside of killing the Texans, on the backside of his NFL career, and he's no longer a threat to do that. But anytime right here in Houston when we hear T.Y. Hilton is a potential return to the lineup versus the Texans, I think people revert back to some of the past performances that he had, and it was very rarely good for the Texans. So, T.Y. Hilton's name's mentioned in a comeback fashion. Yeah, you better believe it matters here.
Yeah, there was some good news with Nico Collins, but then David Culley, as he spoke with the media, had to give some really, really bad news about one of his best players. We'll let you know exactly what that is next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Good news on Nico Collins. He is off the injured list and back on the roster. Could play on Sunday. David Culley spoke to the media earlier today and gave an update on some injured players that they have. And this is what he had to say about those group of guys.
Injury thing here, I just want to kind of give you a little update here. Larry Tunsil will be having surgery tomorrow on his thumb. Nico Collins will be coming back to practice this week. We'll take it day to day with him, but he is okay to come practice on a limited basis, and we'll see where he's at. Danny will be on the field today. He's making progress. Hopefully we can get him to the point where he's able to go. Ross Blacklock is on the field, but we're kind of slowing him back in just for the conditioning part of it. Other than that, KPL is still not going to be ready to go. He'll still be he'll be out this week, but he's going through rehab. Other than that, everybody else is ready to go.
That is head coach David Culley, KPL, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, the outside linebacker, who he's speaking of. But the big one that jumps out is Laremy Tunsil's having surgery, Clint. And he later went on to say they hope it's 4 weeks, 4 weeks that he'll be down. That's your best offensive lineman, one of the highest paid offensive linemen in the game. Your left tackle is out to go along with Marcus Cannon, your other right tackle, who is on the injured list as well. So this looks like bad news for an offensive line that's already been struggling.
Yeah, look, it looks like bad news, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know the way that they've been playing with, again, the lack of physicality is a major, major problem. And I don't care how good you are. I don't care how highly you're paid, what your contract looks like. I think there's a physicality problem with this offensive line across the board. And a guy like Laremy Tunsil may be able to get away with that because of who he is. But the fact that they got a young guy in Charlie Heck in for Mark Cannon at right tackle, and it looks like Jerron Christian Jr. is going to be their one, or senior, is it junior or senior? Senior, I think, is going to be the one in at left tackle. You got two dudes that they've got a lot to prove, right? They're still climbing. There's no, hey, I've got the big contract. I'm one of the higher paid guys. I can ease through this rebuild, if you will, this season that has no hope. If you will, these are guys that got to earn their keep in the league. And so I know you're missing that higher end talent in Marcus Cannon and Laremy Tunsil. There's no doubt about that. But if you plug in two backups and you get a more physical brand of offensive line play at those two positions, there's some good to be had. Obviously, you don't want to couch your quarterback back there and just go gun single back and just throw the ball 58 times like the team up north may do a little bit. You don't want to do that because you got lesser ability at the tackle position. But as it relates to the overall offensive line play, if these two younger, lesser proven players can jump in there and be more physical, it may end up being a positive here.
Yeah, and I guess, is that the adjustment you go with? Do you think that's the move? Obviously, going with Charlie Heck, he started last week. With Tunsil being out the next 4 weeks, they have options, right? You got Titus Howard, who they drafted to be a tackle, and maybe we'd already kicked around for 2 years now almost that he could be eventually the left tackle. Do you do that? Is that the option you think Jerron Christian Sr., I did just check, Sr., is he should be the left tackle?
Yeah, look, I think it just depends on who your best five are. I really do. I know that's a lame duck answer, but that's just the reality of it, especially when you start having injuries like you've had. Lane Taylor, interior-wise, the guard position is not an option, right? Now you got Laremy Tunsil gone. Marcus Cannon's gone. They've got a lot of injuries across the board in the offensive line room. And so what you got to do is look at it and go, okay, where are my best five players? That my best combination of five, not necessarily where will Titus Howard best fit? It's more about where is my best five. And I would believe, because the first guy off the bench in multiple situations in training camp and now in the regular season was Jerron Christian Sr., right? And so he clearly is one of your sixth or seventh best offensive linemen on his football team. And now that you've had two injuries, boom, you're looking at him getting back in the game again. So it's less about where does Titus Howard fit now and more about where does he fit best and more about where is the best, if you put the best five on the field, where does he fall? right? And he falls at the guard position. I think if they had it their way, if they had another guard that they could trust and could get in there and play, I think they would probably move him to right or left tackle and yeah. back to where he's comfortable. But I think given where they're at right now, they are really struggling to put their best five on the field. And I think keeping Tytus Howard inside is probably going to be the option. I know David Culley did speak about that earlier today. And reading between the lines, he didn't speak directly to it, but reading between the lines, they're going to leave Tytus Howard at guard, and they're going to bring Jerron Christian Sr. in at that left tackle position, is what I heard.
Because that's what makes sense, because many people were talking about, well, hey, let's kick Tytus Howard to left tackle, get some looks on that. But, hell, if he's not playing left tackle, that means somebody's got to jump in. And it's just not like, any kind of guard. Then maybe Justin McCray. I've wanted to see him come in for Max Sharping, to be honest with you, just see what that looks like.
Yeah.
He would be the only other option there, but you would have to feel comfortable with that. And obviously, Jerron Christian and Tytus Howard have played with each other on the left side together. In times when Tunzel was out for COVID, they played.
Well, last week they were out. He was out together. For a big chunk of the game last week, so. It's an interesting show because I think they've got, the way you have it now, you've got a backup interior offensive lineman that can play guard, center guard, right? And you've got a backup tackle in who I guess at this point would be Tytus Howard, right? I'm sure there's some other names on the list, but I would imagine if one of the tackles now went down, I imagine that Tytus Howard would bump out and McCray would come in and play guard. I'm just based off of experience and what we've seen this season, I would think that's the way it would fall. But if you've got a guy inside that can be your backup, literally at three positions, and then you've got one of your interior offensive linemen as your backup tackle if something were to happen, I don't think you move more guys than need be to go into a game. Keep it as simple as possible. Keep everybody in the same spot. Plug in Jerron Christian. Right, if something goes on with Jerron Christian, then you shuffle the deck completely. Right now, it's just moving one guy versus moving Tytus to left guard and then moving McCray into guard. There's a lot more movement there and a lot more variables there than just plugging in Jerron Christian, who, again, I mean, this is kind of like – it's kind of like the Davis Mills situation. It's kind of like the Lonnie Johnson on defense. It's kind of like Kamu Crugier-Hill on defense, where these guys got a ton of reps. They got a ton of run in training camp. And so these guys getting plugged in after injuries or after a starter disappoints, like Zach Cunningham obviously has done something. I don't know if it's play or off the field, but he's done something to ruffle feathers over there. You feel really good about these quote-unquote backups getting plugged in because they have got a ton of reps leading up to this particular game.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley, Tyler Milner producing this. As we're looking through the injury situation and up front, they've been struggling on the field with their offensive line anyway. And now they're going to be without their two tackles, including their all-pro tackle in Laremy Tunzel. And here's the thing that I'm going to watch, that I think Texans fans need to watch over the next several weeks when he's out, is the most, I'd say maybe scary thing is, you would hope that there should be a noticeable difference from your all-pro left tackle, Laremy Tunzel, being out compared to Jerron Christian Sr., who is somebody that's a swing tackle that's coming in.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, Sunday, it wasn't a notable difference. Like, it wasn't a, oh, my God, Laremy Tunzel's out, and these are the plays where they're missing him, and, oh, my God, this is what happens when you don't have your all-pro left tackle in there. I don't know if it's been Tunzel's play. You've spoken about his lack of aggressiveness, his assertiveness out there. But it just didn't jump off the page that 70 out, 78 was out, and 72 was in. I feel like with the amount of money the Texans are paying him and how people are speaking about Laremy Tunzel, it should be a noticeable difference, and that maybe they even have to change how they do things. Like, oh, well, all right, we got to add somebody to that side. We got to add a tight end or a linebacker over there, or not a linebacker, but a running back over there to help because 78's not there. And Sunday, I didn't get that feel.
Well, I don't doubt that there's going to be a drop-off in pass protection. Look, Laremy Tunzel, you can put that dude on an island with anybody in the league, and he'll fight tooth and nail with him, right? You don't, obviously can't do that with Jerron Christian or Jerron Christian Sr. I tell you where there is room to really impress and be the talk of the team, if you will, come Monday after a Sunday game is if you get after somebody's ass in a run game. I mean, there is an opportunity for somebody on this offensive line to go out there and just absolutely maul. If you can, I don't know if they can or not, but if you can, to go out there with a whole different level of physicality and be the one Monday morning that James Campen and David Culley are talking about. Now, this is how you play offensive line in the NFL when you're running the football. This guy right here is getting after it. There is definitely a big-time opportunity for one of these young cats, backup cats, whatever you want to call them, to get in there and change the way the position's been played, particularly in the run game, because it's been soft. I mean, it's been baby doo-doo soft up front in the run game. Yeah. Baby doo-doo, yeah. Yes.
You're going to be getting used
to that. Yes, hot butter.
It's running,
yes.
Yeah, especially when it looks like honey mustard. You get used to that.
Yeah.
Get used to that coming up.
I just prefer it not be on the game tape.
I cannot wait.
In a diaper, not on a game tape.
I cannot wait.
You got it.
All right, listen. David Culley said something. He said something in his press conference today that he was matter-of-fact and completely confident in that I'm not sure is actually true. We'll play that for you and discuss that next.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
David Culley spoke to the media earlier today, and there's one small part in what he said about Tyrod Taylor that I got to get your thoughts from, Clint. 713-572-4610. You can call, check in, text in if you want, but I got to get your thoughts on this. Was David Culley speaking about Tyrod Taylor earlier.
When Tyrod comes back and he's healthy, he's our starting quarterback. He gives us the best chance to win. I mean, he's our starting quarterback. He was our starting quarterback when he went down. Doing an excellent job, and when he comes back, he'll still be our starting quarterback.
All of that other stuff about starting quarterback, he's our starting quarterback, when he went down, he's our starting quarterback, all of that. I want to hone in on that one part, Clint. He gives us the best chance to win.
He gives us the best chance to win.
That one. As we sit here on October 13th, currently at 3:35, as it is about to be 3:36, is that accurate to you right now that today Tyrod Taylor, from everything you've seen from this team, gives the Houston Texans the best chance to win?
Yeah, I think Tyrod Taylor would still be the decision to, if you got to go out and win one ball game right now, everything on the table, and it means something, I think Tyrod Taylor is your best chance to win a ball game. Absolutely. If we're just going to make it that black and white, that straight to the point, there's no question about it that Tyrod Taylor right now gives you the better chance to win a ball game tomorrow. Do I think that there's a conversation to be had based off of what we saw from Davis Mills last week? Absolutely. Do I think the best quarterback play that we've seen this year in a four-quarter ball game, when you take everything into consideration, the opponent, the time that you had or didn't have leading up to that start, I think the best quarterback play that we've seen was Davis Mills against the New England Patriots to this point. There's a conversation right now to be had. If you asked me that a week ago, I'd have said, nope, no conversation. I don't give a damn. Tyrod Taylor is the starter for this football team when he comes back. They need the stability at the quarterback position just to get things back on track, because Buffalo was completely unacceptable, even for a team in year one of a rebuild, right? And then Davis Mills goes out there and balls out in a game versus the New England Patriots. And in my opinion, you got to consider that particular performance moving forward when you talk about who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Houston Texans next week and beyond. And if Davis Mills goes out there against Indianapolis Colts and puts a good performance up there, if he doesn't backslide, if he puts a good performance up there, I think it even strengthens his case more to, is he the quarterback that should be the number one quarterback for the Texans moving forward? And does he give you as much a chance to win a ball game as Tyrod Taylor does? I think that's a good conversation to have, yes.
I think right now I agree that it is Tyrod today. Sunday, if he goes to Indy and he is in the same ballpark that he was in against the Patriots, now we gotta have a serious conversation, like a serious conversation, because we start to see the elements that he can bring in down the field,
yeah.
All of that stuff, even better than Tyrod Taylor can. And we know he's getting more comfortable in the league at that point if he's able to do it. Because I think to give credence to what you said, because I think some people will say, oh, come on, that wasn't the best performance. Well, he's 21 of 29, 312, three touchdowns, zero interceptions in the game against Bill Belichick, who we just watched him previously shut down Tom Brady. Now, maybe he didn't give a damn against Davis Mills. I don't know. He did prep his heart. That doesn't sound like the greatest coach of all time. But those numbers compared to Taylor, his best full game, 21 of 33, 291, two touchdowns, zero interceptions, and 40 rushing yards. Now, against Cleveland, he was starting off really well, 10 of 11, 125, one passing touchdown and one rushing touchdown on one carry for 15 yards. But I think there is credence when you put together who he was, who Davis Mills had to go up against. All right, and I think he had three receivers. He had Chris Moore, who just got drug off the practice squad, and Chris Conley at the time hadn't done a damn thing all year, and he was able to get things going with those guys. So I think there is a conversation, a fair one there, because if he does it again, if he's sitting here and we come through here again and he's, you know, 60, 65, 70% completion rate and he's up there over 270 and he's throwing touchdown passes and not turning the ball over like right. he did against Buffalo, now you got to sit there and say, okay, well, hold on. Like, this isn't just, like, we got to take the Buffalo game out of our mind.
Well, the truth of the matter was, show that there was 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, hell, not 2 weeks ago, a week ago, if you look at the entire quarterback situation, the shape of the franchise, there was simply a need for a guy to provide the stability that Tyrod Taylor brings to the table. It's a very fluid situation because the fact of the matter is you're going to see more of Davis Mills until we see Tyrod Taylor again. And so the take or the opinion of what should happen moving forward is going to change after this Indianapolis Colts game one way or another. And the fact of the matter is when he goes out there and throws up that kind of performance, the response it should be fluid. It can't be, oh, well, nope, got to go with Tyrod because he played well against Jacksonville and he had two good quarters against Cleveland. Got to go. That can't be. You can still settle on. We can still have a conversation and settle on Tyrod Taylor. I'm okay with that. I'm good with it. I'm not sure that's not, like I said, I'm not sure if I had to win one game, money on the line, that's not the direction I would go. But to have conversations, debates, whatever, however you want to couch it, about the quarterback position with the Houston Texans and not consider what just happened at the quarterback position, I think is a silly way to go about this thing. And he's going to be able to go, we're going to be able to discuss the four quarters. Hopefully if he stays healthy, knock on wood, you're going to be able to discuss the four quarters of whatever happens against the Indianapolis Colts. And we're going to be able to compare it back to what Lamar Jackson just lit the world on fire and completed, what was it, 80-some-odd percent, 88% of his passes or something like that?
43.
Yeah, I mean, it's 80-something percent, high 80% completion rate. Like, Davis Mills should be able to go out there and complete balls. I'm not saying he's going to have a Lamar Jackson type of day, but he should be able to go out there and complete balls against his football team. We'll see what happens.
I just think it's a fair thing. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Tyler producing this. And we're throwing the question out there for the people as well. David Culley, the head coach, said Tyrod Taylor gives this team the best chance to win. Do you believe that's accurate right now? From everything you've seen, do you believe that's accurate right now that he actually does give you a better chance to win than Davis Mills? And I think this is the first time that after Sunday's game, it could be a conversation. I don't think it's ever really been a conversation on who gives the best chance to win.
I'll agree.
I don't think we'd ever reached a point where you could there was even anything, any kind of evidence or a stat that you could bring up that would say, all right, this is my argument because Davis Mills did this. No, until Sunday. And if he puts it together again, you gotta look at this.
It's one of them deals where if you'd have looked at this situation last week and said, well, Davis Mills, after the Buffalo game, Davis Mills should be the starter the rest of the way. Well, you just want Davis Mills to be the starter. And that's okay because that just you think there's maybe some development or maybe something to get overcome. That's fine. But if you really look at the totality of the franchise, like, they needed that stabilizer. And there's no doubt who the better quarterback was and who gave you a chance to win last week. Just like now, if you look at what you take into consideration what he did last week, right now, if you just say, oh, nope, no doubt, no brainer, there's no question about it, Tyrod's the guy moving forward. All things considered, then there's nothing that Davis Mills can do to for you to think that that he is not you, Show, but just generally speaking,
yeah.
for people to think that he should or should not get run moving forward, right? I mean, you got to evaluate the situation based off of what we just saw. And the kid, I mean, whether it's just statistics or you look at the different throws that the dude made from the pocket and stretched the field and the guys around him that stepped up and made plays that hadn't made plays all year long. I mean, you can't not take that into consideration in that conversation.
All right, we'll go to the people, 713-572-4610. That's the question we're throwing out to you. David Culley said, hey, Tyrod Taylor, and he said it matter of fact, Tyrod Taylor gives you the best chance to win.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Do you agree with that? Dove, let's hear your thoughts. Go ahead, Dove.
I got a what if for you, Clinton Show.
Go ahead.
The Texans just need to win 5 games, and those 5 games are in their division. And I believe that Tyrod Taylor would be the one to play those 5 games and then let Davis Mills play all the other games to get experience. But if we win 5 games, guess what? We're at the top of the division, and that's a win for the Texans. Now we get to play further on into the season, and we really get to see what they're doing. But I think that all these other games that we have to play, the other 11 games, hey, let Davis Mills play his butt off. But then when we get to playing our conference, our division rivals, hey, let's win those games. Because all we need is 5 wins, and we are the division champions. Dove, that's my take,
Cody. I appreciate the call, Dove. I don't know if you're being dead serious. That puts you at 6 wins.
He said, that's my deal, Cody. Who's he talking to? Ain't no Cody on this show.
I do.
There's a couple Codys out there I like, though. I will give you that. But yeah, look, I mean, five wins ain't getting you to the playoffs.
It's not gonna win.
Five wins ain't winning the division.
I think Tennessee will beat that.
Hell, they're damn near there now.
I think they'll beat that. I'm going to move past Dub. All right, Troy, go ahead. I'll let you jump in. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey, I was a little worried Sunday, right? You know, Sunday I was a little scared or whatever. But then I realized his offense is hot as hell and his defense is even better. And, you know, with McCullers, I'm a little worried about him. But I think he's going to be okay other than that. I think we're going to go into the ALCS. And I think we're going to sweep the Boston Red Sox and then just go and blow over to the World Series. Because that's my only concern a little bit is McCullers. Other than that, guys, I mean, I don't know what else I'd be too worried about with this team. 1-9, hot as hell. Maldi got an RBI. I mean, come on, boys. I don't, you know, I'm kind of pumped. That's my take on it.
I love it.
Y'all have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Troy. What are you doing, Tyler?
I love it. I love it.
No,
Yes. My guy Troy said he was ready to talk some Texas.
Are you screening these
damn
calls?
Yes,
Tyler.
We love you, Troy. Troy is a great caller, but.
Who gives a damn? Troy is in a place that I'd love to be right now. I mean, Troy is in a really, really good place.
Are you screening
what
these
patio
calls,
is Troy
Tyler?
On?
Yes, a show,
gotta
of
be
course.
Kidding me.
Troy texted.
You gotta be kidding me.
Leave Tyler alone.
Tyler said in my ear, boy, Troy's ready, man.
Troy, what patio are you on? I mean, look, I don't know. I don't want to know what you're literally on. I want to know what patio you're on and how long you've been sitting on that patio. That is beautiful.
Like, I'm looking at Bill, and I want to take Bill's call, but I don't know. I just don't trust the callers. We got Duff calling in saying all we got to do is win 5 games in the division.
Alternate quarterbacks.
And then alternate quarterbacks to the other 11, and that should get us fresh in for to be the first team ever to make the playoffs with 6 Ws, potentially. We got my man Troy, who called in and just completely tried to – see, that's why we don't take.
Hey, Bill's going to bring it. I have faith in Bill.
No, I don't.
I do.
From the text line, Show's Army text line, they said it. Who is screening these calls?
You know what, text line?
Tyler, I thought after that bodyguard work you did at Minute Maid that folks would respect you a little more.
I'm telling you, man.
Right. So you trust Bill?
I trust Bill.
You trust Bill?
Bill's got it.
Because Bill, this is all on you and Tyler. Not taking calls the rest of the day.
Come on, Bill.
If Bill doesn't come through. Bill, you remember what we're talking about. I'm going to try it again, damn it. All right, here we go. We had a really good conversation. Does Tyrod Taylor give the Texans the best chance to win? Bill, go.
Oh, hell no. Come on. What are those guys smoking? What the hell Kelly up to? Come on. It ain't about what we win this year. This year is over. We got to get ready for next year. Now, who gives us a chance to win? Huh? Who gives us a chance? Who's the possible future? We got to see. Troy Aikman sucked his first year. Peyton Manning sucked their first year. Everybody sucks their first year. But we got to give a man a chance. The question is, does he have a chance to be our tomorrow? If he does, then Cully needs to shut the hell up and let the boy play.
All right, thank you, Bill. Bill redeemed everyone on all the callers right there. There you go, Bill.
My man, Bill.
Also, Keely Smith sucked and continued to suck. DeMarcus Russell sucked and continued to suck. So did Quinton Carter. Well, but Clint, he brings
up. I sucked and never got another chance.
He brings up. I don't know why you just sound like Matthew McConaughey there, but he brings up the point. Like, all right, where are we when we talk about best chance to win? Are we still in the space of, hey? It's about winning these games, winning these five games like Dove's talking about to win the division, or should we be looking for development?
That's part of the conversation if we want to have the conversation under those parameters, if you will. I mean, if definitely it's Davis Mills. After last week's performance, they should stick with Davis Mills. If that their whole priority is developing this guy and seeing who he is, right? If that's the case, it doesn't matter what I think about it, doesn't matter what you think about it, doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. If Davis Mills played well enough last week to pique the interest and for the organization to go, okay, I got to see if that's more Davis Mills than the crap that we've seen in the past, the inconsistent stuff we've seen in the past, or if he backslides again. I mean, it just depends on how we're having the conversation of the interesting thing, show, is that you started the conversation with who gives you the better chance to win. The fact that there's a conversation there to be had right now based off of what we've seen this year tells me that if you add any other priority to the equation, that it's Davis Mills, right? I mean, going to the playoffs and winning tomorrow is not priority. If it were, then yeah, it would be more of a, hey man, I think Terod may be the dude. Terod may have the upper hand here.
Well, and there are other moves they've made on the team would actually make
Correct.
More sense, like Bradley Roby.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's depending on how we want to have the conversation. I agree with the last caller, Bill. I mean, I think that there is to me, in my personal opinion, is that there's enough there with Davis Mills after what I saw against New England to go, okay, priority is I need to see more.
Because you were saying the difference is against Buffalo, like nobody's doing anything.
Nobody's doing nothing. No, nobody was doing
There's
a damn
nothing's
thing.
Getting
like
accomplished.
Somebody has to stabilize what is going on with Houston, because nobody's getting any better. Nobody in pads or a polo is getting any better. And that was awful, right? And so the truth of the matter is, a game has been played since then, and the needle is moving, right? The bar is moving, and last week was awfully impressive. If this kid can, if he can string two games together, like if he can put an Indy game on top of that Buffalo, not the Buffalo game, but the New England game,
and the Indy game.
Come on now.
One on the rope. Because if it's tied, it should go to Davis Mills.
Agreed. Like if the conversation about Terod Taylor and Davis Mills, without the whole, well, the future is this, we got to see what this guy can do. If the conversation about who gives you a better chance, who's playing the quarterback position at a higher level, if that is a legitimate conversation that's a little bit of a tug of war, then you're right. So I think it's got to go to Davis Mills at that point in time.
And you can't go across or just blank over who he would have done it against. It's Bill Belichick, and then on the road against Matt Eberflus, and the Colts, which is a good defensive staff that can put together good defensive game plans. If he does it against those two, and you're looking at Jacksonville and a half of Cleveland, like, it's a real, real conversation that has to be had there. All right, Carlos Correa is not the only one that had words for the dumb reliever for the Chicago White Sox. There's somebody who says it the way Carlos wished he could have said it. Oh, my God, you do not want to miss this next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.